Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And hello there.
All right. So this is a continuation from episode 535, where we were talking about preaching and kind of verse by verse, thematic, topical, and all in and around preaching calendar. So if you haven't listened to that one yet, be sure to do that, because we do talk about different traditions and the fact that there is a lectionary. And if you follow the lectionary, then that is a preaching calendar. But really today, I wanted us to talk about this idea of, okay, let's say, as a pastor, you're like, you know what, I'm honestly just planning one series out at a time, or 1 week out at a time, and I want to get ahead. I want to see if I can plan out 1 year ahead. So that is particularly what we want to talk about, and from the sense of, okay, here is a little bit of a step-by-step guide to be able to do that. So that's really the topic of today's episode. So Ed, you've been at this way longer than I have. So I'd love for you to just take a first crack at it, just to share some of your insights from this. And then, because there's obviously a lot of different ways. And even if you're just to Google how to create a preaching calendar, there are a lot of ways that you can get at that. And even if you were to read, let's say, for example, Dave Ferguson's book, The Big Idea. I forget the exact title, but The Big Idea. I mean, he talks about that. So there's a lot of wording and thoughts in and around this, but there is this tension of, okay, how do I even start? Like, what is the starting place?
Yeah, I can tell you the first time that I thought about preaching, I didn't think I was supposed to prepare. So now I'm doing, I didn't even prepare. So I just trust the Holy Spirit to give you the words, my 7-minute sermon that day.
Yeah.
And so now, it's like, you got to plan it out. So here's kind of how I think of it for, and again, it's, there's a lot of different ways to do this.
Yeah, there is.
So you don't want to listen to just Daniel and Ed, but you want to kind of, dig into more ideas. By the way, the big idea is there's more than one thing, but the thing aligning the ministries of your church through collaborative leadership, that's the Dave Ferguson one. But then also they did the one on preaching that addresses that as well. I'm trying to remember if that was a different one or if that was tied into that. Anyway, so what I try to do is I don't, some people actually have like a 5-year calendar. And I got to tell you, I can't even think if I'm going to be in the same state 5 years from now. I've not had a long track record of staying in place more than that, I guess, partly because I've been doing interims, but even as a church planner, I was pretty much the 4 year or so. And that's usually when I left the church plant. So what I like to do is I do like to have a 2-year, broad 30,000 foot vision, right? Or 10,000 meter for you. A little Canadian reference there for you. I want to get an idea of what I'm going to do. Now, I mentioned in the last episode that I want to do 2/3 verse by verse exposition. I don't want to do 1/3 thematic and topical. And so I typically want to then frame out over 2 years, what's that going to be? Now, depending on the church, I typically would preach, across those 2 years, I would want to say, all right, think in terms of 4 blocks, right? So those 4 blocks are the larger ones. So 2/3 a year. So that's 1/3. So of those, I'm going to take 2 blocks a year in the first year, 2 blocks a year in the second year. And I usually do depending on the size of a book, if you do Jude, it's pretty quickly done. Mm-hmm. But typically I want to sort of break that out. I would say that I tend to preach more from the New Testament than the Old Testament, even though the Bible is mostly Old Testament. But because of such, so I might do go from the Old Testament, the New Testament, Old Testament to the New Testament, and did that pattern does give me more of the New Testament than the 2/3 of the Bible that is actually the Old Testament. But I think that's appropriate. I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. I don't want to neglect the Old Testament. So then I kind of plan out, and I do, like, for example, people ask, why did I pick Matthew for the Moody Church? And the reason is Matthew is written to the older brother. So it wasn't just, let's do Matthew. I mean, here's Moody Church, this pillar of evangelicalism, you know, straddling evangelicalism and fundamentalism, historically, having rich biblical knowledge. You know, I try to remember the survey we did. I think a third of the attendees had, it was a doctoral degree or a master's degree. So very well-educated and biblically literate church. So Matthew seems perfect for the, when I say the older brother, I'm referring to the prodigal son parable. Mm-hmm. And the older brother was the more religious one. And so I did that. And then after that, we did another book, but then I did Philippians. That's another one I chose because part of the challenges is the church was going through a transition. The very well-loved Erwin Lutzer was transitioning out. And Philippians is under this, you know, it's about the joyful journey of gospel partnership. But underneath the surface is you got to get along with each other. Yeah. And I know that a church transition after a 37-year beloved pastor, is there going to be some challenges getting along with a new vision? So I did choose. Now, when I started a new church, I didn't plan to be there almost 4 years. Mm-hmm, so, so I started just with Matthew and then Philippians later. So, you know, so I chose those books in part because of the need of the church. So that's where you'd have a 2-year plan. What books of the Bible could I teach and preach that would be helpful? And then I can make that much more applicable when, let's say I'm preaching on unity in the church, right? I didn't do that at Moody. I preached through a book of the Bible, Philippians, which deals a lot with unity. But I can also do a 7-week series on unity or community. We did a series on family, you know? So when you talk about pattern, for me, that Mother's Day to Father's Day is always a great time to do a family series because, you know, Mother's Day and Father's Day is almost an expectation that you do something on mothers and fathers. So you fill in the weeks between with a family series we did at times. So that's the big picture, the 2 years. And then the smaller picture is I might pick my books of the Bible over the 2-year thing, but I'm really looking at my themes 1 year out. And the other thing too, when I'm preaching like through Matthew was a series of mini series, right? So, you know, when we get to the Sermon on the Mount, that's its own thing. And, you know, the Sermon on the Mount is, we did a whole series on that as well. So all that kind of ties in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, that's super helpful. And you're right. There's so many different ways that we can get at this. And even in the previous episode, when we were talking about thematic or doing it series or topical expository, there's so many ways because you can be expository and do it as a series. And it doesn't, if you're preaching through Philippians, there's no rhyme or reason to say you have to do it consecutively, right? You can do a couple chapters and then stop and then do another and depending on the calendar year. So there are those aspects where you do need to really pay attention to, especially when it comes to, okay, what are those on-ramp natural moments where new people are going to be coming, right? So that very first series after Easter or that very first series in January or in the fall and what you do in the summer, all of that does play into it in terms of how you determine what you want to preach. Now, it's interesting, right? Right now we're living in this kind of Netflix age, right? Where it's this age of you don't wait week by week for the episode to come out. You just wait for the whole series or the season come out. Right. And there's a lot of binge watching going on. And that's just the shape and the narrative of our culture. So I guess my question, the thing that I'm wrestling through right now as we are working on our calendar for this next year is how much does that actually play into it? Right, because there has been, and I'm not going to say research, but there has been this pattern where I've seen a lot of churches go, used to be 6 to 8 weeks, and now I'm seeing a lot of 4 to 5 week series. Yet you look at the Netflix binging sort of tendency, and it's usually like 12 or 13 episodes. So I'm just curious if you have any thoughts about that in particular.
Yeah, I tend to think 6 to 10 is, I think that's more of a doable scenario. And particularly if I can, like the Beatitudes, in using Matthew's example. So Beatitudes were a standalone series. I think I was 8 weeks. And, you know, I don't know that, I don't remember what the title was. It wasn't How to Be Happy. That's kind of, you know, maybe it was bless or something. Yeah. I forget what it was. But so what I would say is, you know, you want to build it out to the degree, and you might even take a break. Like you said, I mean, we might do the Beatitudes, and then it came up right up, and I don't remember this, but it came right up until Mother's Day, and then we took a break, and then we continued from there. I don't want people to get exhausted over this, that we're always in this book of the Bible forever. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. There's a whole school of thought that says, well, you should just get up the next week and say, all right, everyone, we're at Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I want it to be faithful to the text, biblically delivered, and in ways that are kind of easier for people to get their mind around. You know, this is a series. If we're in Philippians chapter 4, you know, we're going to be dealing with different topics. You know, might be Philippians chapter 2, for example, might be spiritual maturity, or Philippians chapter 4 might be, you know, worry and you know, whatever it may be. So I found that it is easier for me to deliver that in chunks that people can digest, and then chunks and digest, maybe not the best picture, but you get the point.
Yeah.
You get the point.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. So that's one thing. What do you think though about overlaying, I guess, or having a column of systematic theology, right? Or of biblical theology, and actually having a category like that and say, okay, so over the next 2 years, yes, here are a few books that we want to cover, or a book that we want to cover, but actually let's make sure that in the rhythm of 2 to 5 years, we actually cover all systematic theology concepts. What are your thoughts around a category overlay like that?
Yeah, and that's often what a preaching calendar does. If you're following like a liturgical calendar, mm-hmm. or something of that sort, it is intended to do that more, or a lectionary, you know. So, you know, think about the Gospel Project, which, you know, you and I have been involved with different ways, mm-hmm. and I was founding editor and more. I guess I still am the founding editor. That didn't change, but, but you know, in that case, we had 99 doctrines we think Christians should know. So we would teach them and accordingly. So I also think that that's fine to do. I would put on thematic preaching would be where doctrinal preaching would actually fit. Mm-hmm. So so if you want to address that now, so again, you got 52 weeks a year. If you're going to do, let's say you're doing half the time expository. In my case, I like to do 2/3. We're doing half time expository, and you're going to probably preach topically on Mother's Day and you know, Christmas and you know, Easter, and so then that's going to take away 6 or 7 Sundays. And then if you're going to have a kind of a, I like to have an on ramp series in the fall and the spring. I talked about that last time, where there's something that is easy access for people who are newer to their Bible, get them on ramped, and then join us in more intentional expository series, then that doesn't leave you a lot to do on other Sundays. So I do think that particularly doctrinal teaching is often better done in a another setting, where you can go through like a small group, like the Gospel
never
Project,
get through, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I do think that, but again, I think it's fine to do that as well. I'm just saying I prefer to go a little deeper into doctrinal with verse on verse teaching, a little deeper in a different setting than a sermonic setting.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Well, there's definitely lots to think about, and we could probably keep on going on this. My encouragement to you is, if you're preparing a preaching calendar, to not do it in isolation. I know if you're the lead of your church, there is that mantle that is placed on you, especially regarding preaching. But depending on your age and stage and also your gifting, there's going to be a lot of benefit to gathering other pastors or other elders or other creative individuals. And actually to invite them into a process where you're praying together and worshiping and actually planning out this. And maybe you don't want to do a year at the beginning. Maybe you just want to do 3 months, especially if you're going week by week right now. I want to encourage you to do that, especially of different generations and ethnicities too, because that's going to really help you get out of your blind spots and get out of some of your biases that might actually return where you might not actually be, I don't want to say preaching the whole counsel of God, but you might have those favorite areas and topics, which is why often we do preach expository, because it'll prevent you from always talking about the same thing over and over again. So by doing it collaboratively with others, that'll also help that as well. All right.
Yeah. Love it. By the way, Dave Ferguson has two big idea books. That's where I got a little thrown off there. The big idea, focus the message, multiply the impact, is the preaching one. And then the big idea, aligning the ministries of your church through creative collaboration. So they're related, but there's more than one big idea from, which is kind of ironic that there's more than one big idea from Dave and the team.
Anyway, oh, man. Sorry. They're great. Well, yep. Thanks so much for listening in, and we will catch you next time.